Shall we stand as we have our reading tonight from Matthew 24, verses 10 through 13? And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. Shall we bow our heads in a word of prayer? Our Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight thanking you, Lord, for this privilege of looking into your word and having you reveal yourself to us and what is ahead for the future. Lord, we just pray that you would bless tonight and that, Father, we might draw nearer to you than ever before and be encouraged at your reality. We give you the praise and the thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. This evening, as we go into this portion, just to get you the setting of where we are now in Revelation, I say in Revelation or in the end times, it's Matthew 24 is our setting, but when we go through from verses 3 through 8, and verse 8 says, all these are the beginning of sorrows. You remember that this is what we believe as we looked at the seals that were open for the first three seals. And then I want to remind you that from verse 9, the change comes in. We have the fourth horse that is death with Hades following it. I better look at that and get it exactly. I looked and behold a pale horse, and the name of him who sat on it was death, and Hades followed with him, and power was given to them over a fourth of the earth to kill with a sword, with hunger, with death, and by the beasts of the earth. So that was verse 9, and we said that was right after the middle of the 70th week. And that's our fourth seal, okay? Tonight we're going to look at the fifth seal for a specific reason, and that's in Revelation 6, then we'll be in Revelation 13. Now those are the two portions that we're going to be looking at, and so we'll see in just a minute why. Now our lesson for tonight is, he who endures to the end shall be saved. We're in the great tribulation period for all of tonight's lesson. So we'll be looking from verse 9 where there's killing in a fourth of the earth he has power to take away. That's in Revelation 6, verses 7 and 8, the fourth seal. We're going to look at the fifth seal for a minute, and of course that will follow. That will be 2b, if you're still, for those who listen and are adding to their own little chart. Let's see, we have 2D, 2E, the fifth seal. This is an interesting one, and it's interesting to compare because both of them have to do with death. Seals 5, 6, and 7, and of course they'll come in a row after the middle of the 70th week, and 5, 6, and 7 have to do with the day of the Lord. As we look at 5, they're going to be calling for it. As we look at 6, we're going to see the sign of it. As we look at 7, it'll open the scroll and we'll have the whole 7 trumpet judgments. Although the 7th trumpet will open for the final 7 bowl judgments. It's kind of included. That's the sequence that we get. Let's look at Revelation 6. We've looked at that fourth seal. We're going to look at the fifth. This is interesting, and then we're going to ask some questions on it. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? And a white robe was given to each of them. And it was said to them that they should rest a little while longer until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren, who would be killed as they were, was completed. This is an interesting seal when it's open. Now, obviously, God's wrath has not been poured out because they are calling for it to be poured out to avenge their blood on those who dwell on the earth. And it doesn't take much to look at this and see, well, God's wrath hasn't come yet. But there's some other things. Let's go back to verse 9. The souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and the testimony which they held. These are going to be overcomers in the real sense of the word. Remember, they overcame Satan by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony. They loved not their life unto death. Now, what about the fourth seal, those that die there? They will, if they belong to the Lord, they will go to heaven too. But I see a special honor for the fifth seal. They lost their heads, no doubt. They had been slain or beheaded because of the testimony of God, the word of God, and the testimony which they held. We find that as we go farther on, and we probably won't do this, but if you read Revelation 15, these are special people that are singing in a special chorus. And you say, well, I'd rather skip the... You know, the closer we draw to the Lord, the more we're going to find that we desire to be what He wants us to be. Does that make sense? Now, there are many things I don't understand, but I do know, it says, eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love Him. I believe He means that. We cannot have any idea of what it's going to be like for eternity because we think most of the time earthly. As we can think heavenly, we have been lifted out of the power of darkness into the kingdom of His beloved Son. We are walking and living in a new kingdom. And we have a different viewpoint of what's going to happen, what is happening, and a longing to find out what God has for us. I pray tonight, we had a lesson, I have to stop. We had a lesson tonight as we were reading our devotional. We're reading Morning and Evening by Spurgeon. And he talked about faith and how faith connects us with the Lord. And of course, we know that without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Now, as Charles Spurgeon went through a list of about six things of faith. All our blessings from God come via the connection of faith. As I was reading it, in my mind's eye, many of you aren't old enough, but those who are old enough, we used to go into the stores, chain stores, a long time ago, where they had the cash register to ring up the sales, but they didn't make the change there. They made it up in the balcony someplace, and they had a line, and they'd have this little canister, kind of like when you go into the bank, you put your check in, and then, vroom, it goes under or over and into the teller. That's what it was like when we went into these chain stores, and they'd put it in this little canister, and they'd pull the wire, and it would zoom off up into the balcony. They'd make the change, and see what you've missed, those of you who are young, and it would come back down. I thought of this as a line of faith. Now, we don't need any wires, but you know, it's our faith that receives communication from the Lord. Yesterday in the men's prayer group, we had the cry from Jehoshaphat, I believe it was, believe in the Lord and you will be established. Believe in the Lord and you will be established. Now, if we truly come to that, we're going to have an exciting life. It's a real adventure because we will, even though He tests us many times, we will test Him in our prayer life. Do we really trust His promises when He says something? And I want you to know that without faith, it's impossible to please Him. So many of us come to that point. Are we trusting God? Do we believe His promises? That's very important for tonight's message, preparing to endure. You see, the reality of our relationship with Jesus Christ is so important, because we have been saved by grace through faith. It's not of ourselves. It's a gift of God. It's a gift of God. Now, we have the privilege in this church of hearing the Word of God many times a week, depending how many times we want to come. We go over His promises. We see them expounded on and hear them expounded on. But ultimately, it comes back not to our knowledge, although that's important, but to our reality of our living by faith. This church was started by faith. Back in 1949, God answered prayer as this church building opened up. And we had the opportunity to purchase it after trying for several years, and they wouldn't sell. But we needed $2,000 in 24 hours. Now, back in 1949, it was a lot of money. Still a lot. But we didn't have it. And as a child growing up, I remember Dad, and many of you have heard me say this, Dad said, "I'm going in to pray." And an hour later, he came out. He said, "I'm going to make a call." Sometime later, he came. When he was finished with a call, he said, "We're buying the church." And of course, from the purchase of it, incorporating it, and all the things that go with it. And I believe that first service we had one lady. She lived about two blocks down here, staying with Elsie Kringle. Many of you know who she is. And Mrs. Haywood, she went home many years ago. She was in her 80s at that time, and she was our lady. Now, by the second and third services, there were others. I think Joyce was very early in there, and some others, I can't remember who all the ones. Many of you were here pretty early when we started. The object is not the people, it's God. And over the years, we've had our high points, we've had times when we've been challenged. But God has been faithful. God has been faithful. And this work has continued because of faith and His faithfulness. Now, as we are tested in our reality, and that's what this lesson is all about, we want to know the reality of a living God, right? That we can believe that He will take care of us even though things physically seem to be difficult. Now, I like to point you back to Stephen. You know, even when he was being stoned, I believe God had him in His hand. Do you believe that? He kneeled down and he was able to say, "Lay not this sin to their charge." They saw his face as a face of an angel. I just believe that there was so much there. I believe that God was interested, standing on the right hand of God, looking down, taking care of His own. Will He be any different for us? I don't believe so. I don't believe so. Now, at this point, many who are listening to this, possibly over the internet, maybe tonight, will start to examine our own faith. Paul said, "Examine yourself to see if you be in the faith." I believe that's a good idea, because we want to be real when we come anytime, starting with tonight. We want to be real. Now, let's go on. They cried with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on earth?" Earth dwellers are generally, when we get to Revelation, the unsaved, as they are in this case. How long before you're going to judge them? How long before you're going to pour out your wrath upon them? We have that privilege of asking God. And then we have in 11, a white robe was given to each of them. These are just the souls under the altar. But it was said to them that they should rest a little while longer, until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who would be killed as they were was completed. God knows who the ones that are going to be worthy of Him. And I say it that way because that's exactly what it is. The apostles rejoiced when they were worthy enough to suffer for the cause of Christ. Now, we're talking very, very plainly. Gives us much to think about. But this is the fifth seal. Sixth seal is going to be the sign. The disciples back in Matthew 24 asked, what is a sign of your coming and of the end of the age. The sixth seal will be the sign. And of course, a lot's going to happen when the seventh seal unfolds. Now, we want to go to Revelation 13 because that's where we left off last week. If you remember, we had gotten through the first part somewhat, and I did not get a chance to expound on the last couple verses of Revelation 13. And I'd like to go to that right now. Remembering what we've just discussed about the difference between seals 4 and 5. One is death. One is martyrdom because of the word and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Both can be saved, I believe. But I also believe that that fifth seal was a very special group of people. They had a faith in God and His promises to be able to stand in the difficult times. Now let me say, we're going to experience many, many tests on a lesser level so far of having the faith to be able to speak for Christ in difficult situations. Would you agree with that? Now we probably don't have to speak for Him, but I believe God will put it upon our heart that here's a chance to be able to witness for our Lord. I can't say, I wish I could, that I had 100% victory over every time God gives me an opportunity. But I can say that I am taking advantage of more opportunities now than I ever had in my life. And I pray that I might be the person, the Christian, the witness for God that He wants me to be. We are going to be challenged by many outside interests. I find myself looking at the Lord more frequently, as my wife and I were discussing today, just tonight. And I said, I find myself praying throughout the day. I find myself looking upward throughout the day. I find myself being interested in what God is doing and how I'm responding to what He's doing in my life. I find myself being much more thankful that we are where we are. Sometimes people will say, don't you wish you were younger? No, nor do I wish I were older. I honestly believe that we have been called to be right where we are at this time, and I believe it's a special privilege. I believe it's a special privilege. Let's go to 13. Now, we went through the first part, and we find that there was a beast rising up out of the sea in verse 1, having 7 heads and 10 horns. And on the heads, let's see, on his horns, 10 crowns. And on his heads, a blasphemous name. Now, we did not say much about that. This is a composite beast that's going to turn out to be the Antichrist as we look at this. So I don't want to go into that right now. Possibly sometime we'll look in Daniel and find the different organization. But let me tell you, there's a lot of aligning taking place over in the Middle East now with some of the same countries that the Bible mentions. Fascinating to watch them. Okay, saw one of the heads, verse 3, as if it had been mortally wounded. And the wound was healed, and all the world marveled and followed the beast. So there's going to be some real discernment needed, because this will look real, sound real. Now, as we go on in Matthew 24, it's going to say that if it were possible, even the elect would be deceived. God does not exaggerate in His word. When is the time to get to know Him? Now. This is a time to have our relationship strengthened. Many people will run from this type of subject. I'm glad you're here tonight. I don't want to make things more difficult, but I do want to share these things with you because the Bible says they're coming. I believe that's very important. So let's go on. They worshiped the dragon who gave authority to the beast. Now, I'll ask the question, who is the dragon? The dragon, as you said, is Satan. It's found in verse 9. You always want to have scripture for what you say. Of 12. verse 9 of 12. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan. So there's his identification. There's his identification. That means back in the Garden of Eden, it was Satan, doesn't it? It was the devil. What's he called back in the Garden of Eden? The serpent. Good. The serpent. But it really was Satan. Okay, they worshiped the dragon. This is an interesting... Stay right where you are. There was verses quoted this morning. I can't remember who quoted them, and it's not important. Maybe it was John. Somebody quoted them. But they quoted some verses from 2 Timothy 3. And it said, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. That's the 12th verse. And then it says, evil men and, I think King James says, seducers. Mine says imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Now that's what's coming, Paul tells Timothy. And he tells Timothy, as for you, continue the things which you have learned, knowing from and have been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from a childhood thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise. Now, I heard on the internet the other day, and it was on the news before that. Now, witches are united to do their incantations and rid the world of President Trump. This came over the news. Probably some of you heard it. They meet again on March 26, April 24th, and May 23rd to do their demonic rituals. Sound like spiritual battle? You better believe it. And so as I read that, then there was more before and after, but I looked at that part because my concern is that we draw near to Christ. He says, draw near to me and I will draw near to you. Not a lesson in fear, a lesson in rest. Paul told Timothy, continue in the way that you have been taught, knowing who taught you, and he talks about mother and grandmother, and knowing and going back to the scriptures which are able to make you wise unto salvation. I encourage you to take all the Bible, even the parts. I have been just having a joy in going through genealogies. And I would guess if I asked that there would be some who might say, I always skip those. Don't say it out loud. I have had a joy in doing that. We went a little bit into that in the men's prayer group yesterday. And I continued today and found some more study in that that just thrilled me. The important part is take the scripture and read it. Ask yourself, Lord, what are you teaching me through this? Verse 4, they worship the dragon. They worship Satan. He was the one who gave authority to the beast, which we'll find is the Antichrist. And they worship the beast, saying, who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him? He was given a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies, and he was given authority to continue for 42 months. Okay, how long is that? 3.5 years. Now, as we look at that, we find that, oh, I don't know, there's so much in here. Then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. When we were back in Matthew 24, it talked about how the hatred would increase, the love of many would grow cold. Well, this is the period that really takes off. We look around the world, we think it's happening today, and it is in a minor way. Major for many of the countries, but in America here, it's in a minor way. But we're beginning to feel the pressure of the hatred for naming the name of Christ. Now, he opened it, verse 6, he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. Satan is going to have his last throes now. He's been cast down to earth. And it was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. As I read this, I recognize three times in this chapter, you're going to find the words, it was granted him. Did you catch that? Meaning, who is in control? God is in control. God is in control. It was granted him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. As I read this, I would like to make sure you have the right idea of what it means to be overcome when it talks about the saints being overcome. If you would look at chapter 11 with me, we're going to just take a few select verses. We aren't studying chapter 11. Someday we may go through that because much happens in chapter 11. But in verse 3, we find that John gives us, "And I will give power to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy 1,260 days. How long is that? 3.5 years. There's a lot of preaching that's the first 3.5. I disagree, and there's many reasons why I disagree if you want to get sequence of God's events as they happen, that this is the second half. And so this starts on one more thing that starts in the middle of the 70th week, right at number 2, is that the two witnesses begin to preach. Now, I want to go a little farther than that, though. If you look at verse 7, talking about the witnesses, and by the way, I believe they're Moses and Elijah. Elijah says, and it talks about in Malachi, the last chapter, that Elijah will come before the great and terrible day of the Lord. We know that Elijah went to heaven. He didn't die. We know that Moses was buried by God, and then there was dispute over his body. I think it's in Jude that it says that. So I believe that God took him home. We also see that Moses and Elijah appeared on the Mount of Transfiguration. We know that Moses was a lawgiver, and Elijah was probably the foremost of the prophets. And so for those reasons, I believe it's Moses and Elijah. If you want another one, when you look at the miracles, they were the miracles that Moses and Elijah were able to perform. So in my mind, I don't have much doubt that these were the two. Verse 7, "Now when they finish their testimony, the beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit will make war against them, overcome them, and kill them." Well, let's see what overcome means. Let's go down to 11 and 12. "After 3.5 days, the breath of life from God entered them, and they stood on their feet, and great fear fell on those who saw them. And they heard a loud voice from heaven saying to them, 'Come up here.' And they ascended to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies saw them." If you want an adventure story, read chapter 11. But I'm only going to read those verses. What did overcome mean in this case? Physical, spiritual, physical. Physical. Satan thought he had overcome Christ when Christ died and they crucified him. And Christ arose. Satan will believe that these two witnesses have been overcome and the people rejoice. And we just read that God puts breath into their life and calls them, "Come up here." Can you understand why some of God's select, and I'm going to say that word, would be killed for their testimony in Jesus Christ and overcome? And yet, that's just the beginning of a new life, isn't it? Those souls under the altar are crying, "How long, O Lord, before your wrath is poured out?" That's a paraphrase of that. "Before you avenge our souls." Luke 18, 1 through 8, I believe, has a parable, and you'll hear the woman crying unto the unjust judge, "How long till you avenge me?" Well, that follows a prophetic portion of Scripture that ends with Luke 17, the end of Luke 17. So the same thought is here, and he says in that parable, he will avenge them speedily, and I believe God will do the same as those souls cry out. Now, let's go on to 13, and let's finish those last couple verses. "All who dwell on the earth will worship him. I should start with 7. It was granted him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. Worldwide? Worldwide. We'll see that again. And all who dwell on the earth will worship him, whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. Oh, we have this plea given in so many places, 7 times in chapters 2 and 3. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. We have, after each of the times in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, when we have the 4 soils, we have something about hearing. And those who hear will more be given. That's an important concept, because that's true for today. Those who hear and are willing to listen and hear what God's word says will understand more. And when it says more will be given, maybe even more than just understanding. I don't know what fully he means by that, but I do know understanding is part of it. This message, not my message, this message from God's word is so important, because it helps us to know and have confidence in our God for telling us it ahead of time, so when it comes to pass, we might believe. I want to skip to verse 11. I did this last week, and I got with about 4 minutes left, and I think I'm going to stop. And next week, we will continue with 11. I hope you don't mind. There's so much here, and then we'll go to Revelation 14. And we'll be talking about, from Matthew 24, we'll be taking the next verse, and it says, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come." So today, tonight, we've talked basically on preparing to endure. Now, I wanted to go slowly, because I wanted people to be able to think, not fear, but to think, because we serve a living God. I want us to examine the topic of faith, because everything we get from God is going to be by faith. How I remember hours of praying, "God, show me your ways. Lord, you promised that it's an advantage when you go away, because you'll send us the Holy Spirit and he'll abide with us forever. And he will guide us into all truth and he will teach us." I don't see any qualifiers there that it's only for pastors. Have you found any? No. And so I really appreciate those who have come out tonight. I can sense you're listening and hearing, and I pray understanding. Because I believe this is really going to happen as we've read it. And so I want our people to be ready. If we aren't called upon for some of these things, that's fine. Some of us he may take home early. Isaiah 57, 1 and 2 says he takes some home early to keep them from the evil to come. That's a comforting verse, because it means he knows what we can endure, and he knows the ones that he's called for this type of thing. But either way, it's nice to know our God, isn't it? And to know him in reality. Shall we stand as we close? Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I know this is a difficult message to hear, although I know we've preached it here before. I thank you for these that have come out and been so faithful and listening, and willing to listen, because they know it's your word. I pray that each of us might come to know you better, that we might examine our faith in your word. Are we really trusting you? And Father, I know, beginning with this pastor, that I come short. And I know that possibly everybody will say, I feel like I don't measure up. But I know, my God, you have taken the weakest one. And as we heard in this morning's message, you took Peter and came back to him time and again, because he was yours. And Lord, we are yours as we come to know you as our personal Savior. Thank you, Father, for your Son and his dying on the cross to redeem us. Thank you, Father. Now we pray that you would dismiss us with the fullness of your blessings. We pray in Jesus' name. They answered and said, Amen. Amen.